Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray now that by your Holy Spirit, you will help us understand it and obey it. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a delight to be with you here at St. Martin's for a whole week. And thank you, Russ, very much indeed for your invitation. I came in midweek to 2015, and it's lovely to be back. Ross has been a faithful friend since then, and we had a wonderful stewardship party last Thursday evening. Russ and Laura and others were singing Beatles song and bluegrass. I wasn't quite sure which of the Beatles Russ was. Maybe you could discuss that later on. I'd also like to thank your bishop, Bishop Andy Doyle, on behalf of whom I'm confirming today. There's a story of a bishop going into a church for a service in England, and there were only three people in the congregation. So he said to the vicar, "Didn't you tell them I was coming?" And the vicar said, "No. But I'm afraid it must have leaked out." I bring you greetings from the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. He sent me an email while I was here this week, and he specifically asked me, Russ, to pass on his greetings and to you in the congregation. I was consecrated Bishop of Sherborne in 2009. The first Bishop of Sherborne was 705 AD. I don't go back that far, but it was St. Aldhelm. And I was taking a confirmation service at Salisbury Cathedral and driving back on All Hallows' Eve. So it was Halloween. And I needed some gasoline, so I stopped at a petrol station. And we call it petrol. Went up behind the counter, and I was dressed as a bishop with a purple shirt. And the guy behind the counter said, "Nice fancy dress." I had no idea what he was going on about. I said, "What?" He says, "Nice fancy dress." And I said, "But I wear this all the time." "Yeah, sure you do," he said. I said, "I'm the Bishop of Sherborne." And he goes, "Oh." But then I completely confused him because I said, "Trick or treat." I was preaching at the Tower of London a couple of weeks ago for All Saints Day. We're now in the period of All Saints, the season. And the Tower of London is guarded by beefeaters and by soldiers with machine guns. The crown jewels are there. And I was preaching on All Saints Day. And today we remember an amazing soldier, St. Martin. And we remember he became a bishop. And he was a merciful bishop and helped a beggar. Today also is Armistice Day, 100 years today, since the end of World War I. And I'm coming to your service at 6 o'clock this evening. I was a soldier in 1973, and I was in tanks. I had 4 chieftain tanks and 15 men at the age of 19, and I grew up very fast before I went to Oxford. I wasn't a Christian then. I came to faith in Jesus at Oxford when I was going to be a lawyer training. Last night I was at Rice University for the Marine Corps Memorial Dinner, and I led prayers there, the grace at the beginning. In our gospel today, Matthew 25, there are surprises, the surprises of the king. And I'm going to draw out 3 surprises this morning. When Matthew is writing his gospel, he is mimicking the book of Deuteronomy. So in Deuteronomy, there are 5 sermons of Moses, and Matthew very skillfully gathers together the teaching of Jesus into 5 sermons. So Matthew 5-7 is the well-known one, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 10 is the Sermon on Mission. Matthew 18 on the church, Matthew 13 on the parables, Matthew 18 on the church, and Matthew 24 and 25 on the last things. So this passage comes in at that last section. And the first surprise is of the king, the surprise of the king incognito, unknown. So who is the Son of Man? Who is the king? For 7 years, I taught theology 7 miles up a mud road in the foothills of Mount Kenya. It was wonderful. Ali and I went there with 2 daughters, and we came back with 3. Katie was born there. And at that college, St. Andrew's College, Kibari, Bishop David Gitari chaired the liturgical commission and the service of Holy Communion. We're going to use the blessing from that service at the end of this service, and morning prayer and evening prayer. And we gathered together the messianic titles of Jesus in the Old Testament. So who is Jesus? Jesus, the seed of Abraham, blesses the nations. Jesus, the prophet, like Moses, frees the oppressed. Jesus, the Lord of King David, leads his people. Jesus, the servant of the Lord, suffers and saves. Jesus, the Son of Man, destroyed and raised. So the title Son of Man was Jesus' own title. He talked about the Son of Man, meaning the Son of Man referred to in Daniel chapter 7. And we also discovered that a scholar, Joachim Jeremias, translated the words, Greek words in the Gospels, back into Aramaic, Jesus' mother tongue, his vernacular. And in Aramaic, they form rhythmic poetry. You can hear it even in the English. And we gathered together those in the Song of Jesus. So Luke 6 and then Matthew 25. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. We need that in America. We need that in every nation in the world. And then Matthew 25. Listen to it. You can hear the rhythm. I was hungry and you gave me food, thirsty and you gave me drink, a stranger and you welcomed me, naked and you clothed me, sick and you visited me, in prison and you came to me. This is the Jesus to whom you are dedicating your lives, especially today, the confirmands, those being received, those reaffirming vows. But the theme of the king incognito is picked up in Shakespeare and Tolkien. Henry V, on the eve of the Battle of Agincourt in 1415, just south of Paris, he wants to know how his soldiers are. So he takes off his crown, puts on a cloak, and goes amongst his soldiers. He was incognito, hidden. And then Tolkien in The Lord of the Rings, the rightful king in Book 3, is crowned Aragorn. But where do we meet him first? In Book 1, as Strider. He's in a pub with the hobbits. They have no idea who he really is, the rightful king. And Tolkien, who was a committed Catholic, is weaving in echoes of the Messiah, unknown at first, even to his disciples, who he really was. So the surprise of the king incognito. Secondly, the surprise of the king's family. Who are the family? It's clear in the passage at the end. As you did to the least of these members of my family, you do so to me. And I've seen the extraordinary ministry amongst poor people that is based at this church and is growing. So there's a story of a black South African during the apartheid era sitting on the steps of a Dutch Reformed church, and he's crying. And Jesus goes up to him and said, "Why are you crying?" And he says, "They won't let me into their church." And Jesus says, "I know exactly how you feel. I've been trying to get into that church for years and years and years." But thankfully, things have changed in South Africa. We still need to pray. So we are the body of Christ, the communion of saints, reaching right back in time and right forward in time and throughout the world today. We remember St. Martin. We are part of that body. But there's another Martin written with a Y, M-A-R-T-Y-N, Henry Martin. He was a servant of the poor in India. Now, in this pulpit, there are famous preachers carved on it. And Russ has written a brilliant little booklet. You need to get it in the bookstore and read it. It's expounding each of the preachers here. This one here is Simeon. Charles Simeon was the father of evangelical Anglicanism. He was vicar of Holy Trinity for 54 years. Russ, you've got a bit longer to go. And he was through Stabilitas, the Benedictine concept of Stabilitas, staying there. He influenced the whole church. He influenced students and curates. He virtually founded a theological college. Ridley was founded virtually in his rooms over tea. And Henry Martin was one of them. He was brilliant. He was a professor of classics, won a top prize. He gave it all up. What for? To go and translate the New Testament into Urdu, Persian, and Arabic. And he was in India, 1806 to 1812, and then he died of TB in Armenia, trying to get home at the age of 31. But who came back from India? Well, after Kenya, 7 years, I taught theology in Cambridge for 9 years and founded the Henry Martin Center for the study of mission and world Christianity. It's got a new name now, the Cambridge Center for Christianity Worldwide. And I left in 2009 and was Vicar of Islington. The new director of that, the first ever director from the Global South, is Dr. Muttaraj Swami. He is a brilliant Anglican Indian theologian. He started in April. He works 4 days there, and for the fifth day, he is doing phase two of the project that I founded, Mission Theology in the Anglican Communion. Phase two is called Theological Education for Mission. And he's very brilliant and very humble. He's edited 3 books in our project, which are leading up to the Lambeth Conference in 2020. 900 bishops are coming from all over the world. But Archbishop Justin wanted them to prepare, and so our project has produced 3 books on Justin's priorities. The first is published this month on reconciliation, walking together. And then the second is next year, witnessing together. And the third is 2020, which is called Listening Together and is about prayer and renewal of religious life. But on top of that, Dr. Muttaraj Swami, and I'd love some of you to meet him at some stage, has written the Archbishop of Canterbury's Lent book for 2019. It's out this month, called Reconciliation. And then the third surprise is the surprise of the King's Call. Now, in the Liturgy of Confirmation in England, I say 2 phrases when I confirm. John, or whoever, John, God has called you by name and made you his own. That's a particular call. And God knows you by name. Confirm, O Lord, your servant, with your Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say that, and I've got permission from Russ to use those words, for each confirmand. And at the end of that, confirm, O Lord, your servant, with your Holy Spirit, I want you to say, Amen. So there'll be about 80 or 85 Amens. So you join in into my prayer. And God will fill you with his Holy Spirit. I met with the confirmands earlier, and I said, there are many prayers which it's difficult for God to answer, such as, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? It's a great song. But there are other prayers which God will definitely and always answer. Lord, fill this person with your Holy Spirit. That's what you're designed for. That's what he longs for. So when I pray, confirm, O Lord, your servant, with your Holy Spirit, and you say Amen, God will answer that prayer. And I came to faith at Oxford. That was a surprise for me. I was going to be a lawyer and then changed to theology. And God may be calling you anyone in the congregation, you could be called to be a priest in the Church of God. You need to think about that. Or a lay leader in the church, or a lay leader in God's world. On Monday, 2 weeks ago, I got a surprise call. Ali and I, my wife and I, went to the Tate Modern Museum in London, and Annie Albers, who is a brilliant weaver, she's written the Encyclopedia Britannica article on weaving. There was an exhibition of her work, and the most amazing piece of work is called Six Prayers. And it was commissioned by the Jewish Museum in New York. And it's six rectangular weavings, for one for each of the 6 million who died in the Holocaust. And Pittsburgh Synagogue had just happened, the massacre. So I sat, for 20 minutes in front of these tapestries and prayed for people in the States and the Pittsburgh community. And I came up with Ali, my wife, flipped open my iPhone, and there was a message from Lambeth Palace, the office of the Archbishop, saying he can't go to the vigil for the Pittsburgh Synagogue in London that night. Could I represent him? So having spent 20 minutes in prayer thinking about Pittsburgh, then there was a call from God on an iPhone, and I was there. And the Home Secretary was there, the Mayor of London was there, the Chief Rabbi was there, and I read out Justin's statement, extraordinary statement. And then I also told the story I've just told you of the tapestries and encouraged them to go. So to sum up, the surprise of the king incognito, the surprise of the king's family, the poorest of the poor, the surprise of the king's call. How are you going to respond? Well, you're going to respond because you're going to say amen to that confirmation prayer. But also I hope that you will echo this poem in your heart. It's called The Prayer Stall, and I wrote it in 1986, soon after going to Kenya. For the first time, I used a prayer stall. You can slip it under your thighs and sit back on it, and you can sit with a straight back. You can pray for an hour. And I took my glasses off and my keys, put them down, took my shoes off, took my pen off, and I thought, what am I doing? And I was going very deep into God. And we're going very deep into God in this service. And then I put my shoes and glasses and watch back on again, and I was sent out in mission. So it's about worship going into God. And mission, being sent out by God into God's world. So I hope you respond to this sermon by echoing the prayer stall in your heart silently. I leave aside my shoes, my ambitions, undo my watch, my timetable, take off my glasses, my views, unclip my pen, my work. Put down my keys, my security, to be alone with you, the only true God. After being with you, I take up my shoes to walk in your ways, strap on my watch to live in your time, put on my glasses to look at your world, clip on my pen to write up your thoughts, pick up my keys to open your doors. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.